Good morning, everyone. And welcome to Calvin Christian Reformed Church. We're glad that you're here with us to worship our God this morning. We want to welcome all of you who are here in the sanctuary. We want to welcome those who may also be worshiping with us online. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As we get started this morning, I think I've just got one announcement to make myself. I mentioned this in the newsletter that came out a couple weeks ago, but just for a reminder to you folks, right now is the time of Synod, our annual denominational meeting. So delegates from all across the Christian Reformed Church started meeting on Friday. They're going to be meeting most of this week. Some of you are interested in that. Some of you are not. That's okay. Either way. The big thing that's going on this year is there's discussion of a report from a committee that studied what does the Bible say about human sexuality, and what does that mean for us? So if you have any questions about what in the world the committee is doing or what Synod is deciding, come and talk to me. You can grab me after church or get a hold of me during the week. I don't know everything by any means, but I've been trying to pay attention, and I'd love to kind of walk with you if you've got any questions or concerns related to this. So that's my announcement. Caitlin Vischer also has an announcement about Vacation Bible School, so I'm going to turn it over to her.
VBS is 2 weeks away. We're really excited to be able to do it again this year after having a couple years of not being able to do it. So our VBS cannot function smoothly without volunteers. So we are in need of some station leaders. So those are the people who are in charge of, we need someone for crafts, and we need someone to do Bible stories. These stations have scripts laid out for you, and all the materials are provided. So all you have to do is just read from the book and follow the directions. So that shouldn't be too difficult, but we also need volunteers to be leaders, to walk the kids around from station to station each night, and just to have little discussions with them to answer any questions that they might have about church or God, and just to be there to support and encourage them. I have sign-up sheets in the back if you are willing to be a leader or a helper if you don't feel called to lead a group. We also need helpers just to help control the kids and make sure that they can get from place to place and help them put crafts together. If none of those speak to you, we also need help with food donations. We do a supper before VBS even starts each night, and I have all the meals already laid out, so if you are able to just bring food for that night, we would love that. And a couple more things. In the newsletter, there was a picture of a pendulum that we need built, and I don't trust myself to build this, so if there's anyone out there who would like to help in this area to help us build a pendulum, it'd be greatly appreciated. Just let Tess or I know if you're willing to do that. If you can't help in any of those areas, there's prayer cards that have been in your mailboxes the past couple of weeks. Prayer is always needed in VBS. So if you can't be a leader or bring food, we just ask that you pray for all the different aspects of VBS. So if you have any questions, you can contact me or Tessa, and we can get you the information you need. Thanks.
So that's the announcements for this week. Let's enter into our time of worship together. Please rise in body or in spirit. Let's join together in the responsive reading for the call to worship. It's in your bulletins. It's also going to be up on the screen. So please join me in the reading. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Today we offer our praise and prayer together in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. In harmony, let us glorify God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's join together in singing God's praises. We're going to sing Beautiful One. God greets us this morning. He says to us, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Amen. God's greeted us. Let's take a moment to greet one another. You may be seated. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Trusting God's promise of mercy, let's confess our sins together in prayer. Heavenly Father, you place parents and other authority figures in our lives to train us to do good and to keep us from evil. But often we disobey or ignore our parents. We disrespect or insult the authorities. Sometimes, too, we misuse our own authority by neglecting or mistreating the people we should care for. Please forgive us. Help us honor and submit to proper authority and use our authority responsibly through Jesus, our Savior. Our Lord and our King, we cry out to you alongside those who suffer under the power of authority figures who control, intimidate, and abuse. How long will corrupt governments and officials silence opponents and terrorize citizens? How long will parents and caretakers belittle, hit, and violate your children? Turn your face toward those who live in fear and defend the weak and innocent. In your power and justice, destroy the influence of the wicked. Humble and reform those who are cruel. Rule us with your fatherly care. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. People of God, hear the good news. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Know that in Christ Jesus, God forgives us and makes us new. Thanks be to God. Now Jesus calls us to follow him. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's join together in singing once again. We're going to sing Ahead of Us, A Race to Run. And please rise in body or in spirit as we sing.
So the weekend, the past, the Lord.
Let's take some time together to come before our God in prayer, praying not only for our own concerns, but also the concerns of the people and the world around us. Let's pray. Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we adore you for your threeness and your oneness, a holy mystery. We are in awe of you. We praise you for your creation. Lord, we thank you for the vast variety of the things that you have made, all the many different animals that you've created to fill this planet. We thank you particularly for pets, the animals that we have in our own homes, for the companionship that they bring, for our ability to teach them to do new things. We thank you for flowers that bloom and brighten our day and during this season of summer. And we thank you for the trees and the forests, places for us to go and enjoy your creation. We thank you for lakes and rivers and opportunities to get out on the water and see the wonders that you have made. We praise you for your care for the world. We thank you that you provide food for us each day, that you care for all the creatures of the earth. We thank you for the rhythms of day and night that you've created, that you allow us to rest. We thank you for equipping different people to be friends and caretakers, working out your care for your people. We praise you for your reign over all things. We thank you for advances in medicine that continue to save many lives. We thank you for technology that enables us to communicate with loved ones even when they are far away from us. We thank you that you help us to learn about you as we study your world through the sciences and other fields of learning. Lord, we praise you for your work in our lives. We thank you for leading us to faith in Jesus Christ and the security that he brings. We thank you that you keep us safe as we travel and go about our daily lives. We thank you that you work even through the hardships in our lives, using them to teach us to trust you more. We thank you for the ways in which you show us our sins and you enable us to change and become like Jesus. Lord, we praise you for who you are. We praise you that you have come close to us, first through the ministry of Jesus Christ, and then through the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We praise you for your patience with us in the midst of our failures and our weaknesses. We praise you for your kindness in listening to us and answering our prayers. God, your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are greater than our thoughts. So although we acknowledge that we do not always understand your ways, we continue to offer you our prayers. We pray for nature and all your creatures. We pray that you would make our world healthy, that you would provide everything that is needed. We pray for those who work with natural resources, those who grow our crops, those who care for animals, that you'd bless the work that they do. We pray for the nations of the world. Now we pray for the people of Nigeria in the wake of the shooting that happened last week, that you would comfort those who mourn, that you'd bring peace and security. Lord, we pray for many around the world who live with almost nothing, far lower than we could even imagine living on. We pray that you would provide for their needs, that you would give them the strength that they need for each day. We pray for many who do not have the rights and the freedoms that we enjoy here in the United States. We pray that you would bring them protection, that you would walk beside them closely. We pray for our nation and its leaders. We pray that you would give wisdom and cooperation to those who make decisions for our country, for our state, for our community. We pray that you would give the nations a willingness to seek out your truth, and you would make your church an example of caring for others and not being stuck in the silos that we often place ourselves in. We pray for this community. As the Ice Cream Day celebration comes up, we pray that you would bless the town of Lamar's, that it'd be a wonderful time for people to be together and celebrate the things that are done here. We pray for those who work on our infrastructure, those who repair roads, those who work with electricity and communications, providing things that we use and often take for granted each day. I pray that you'd bless them in their repairs and their service work. We pray for all of us in our daily work that you'd bless the work of our hands and enable us to earn and provide for the things that we need. We pray for people in our community, particularly their children, who feel lonely and neglected and misunderstood, that you would send your people to care for them. We pray for your church throughout the world. Fill us with humility and awe at your grace. Give us unity of head and heart and hands in serving you with our whole being. Pray that you would keep your church from compromising with the world. We pray for our denomination's gathering at Synod, that you would guide the discussion that is done there, that we would speak in a way that honors you, that we make decisions that follow your will. We pray for our local church and its ministry. We thank you for those who are involved with planning and leading and preparing for our worship services each week. We thank you for those who care for the building and the property. We thank you for the service that they provide. As Vacation Bible School approaches, we pray for all the volunteers, that you would give them strength. We pray that the details would be worked out smoothly. And we pray that the children and families involved would draw closer to you through this event. We pray that for all of us, that you would help us to witness and minister in our everyday lives, serving you and your people. Finally, Lord, we pray for persons with particular needs. We pray for Al DeVos and Cindy in the wake of Al's mom's passing away. We pray for comfort for them and their family. We continue to pray for Michon and the baby, and we pray that you would give them health and bring the baby to full term. We pray for those who are going through big life changes, moving to a new place, starting a new job. I pray that you would give them peace in the midst of stress. We pray for people who live with developmental or learning disabilities. We pray that you would help them to know that they are loved by you. We pray for those who work with them and care for them, that you'd give them strength. Finally, Lord, in the wake of the discussions going on in our church and in our society, we pray for those people and those families who struggle through the pain and confusion caused by issues related to sexuality and gender identity. We pray that you'd help them to find peace in you and find guidance through you and your word. All this we pray in the name of the triune God, three in one, from eternity to eternity. Amen. At this point, we get to worship God by giving back to him out of all the things that he's given us. So as we receive our offering and worship, we are also going to do some singing together. We're going to sing, "Send Us Your Spirit."
Your spirit.
It's time for our children's message. So any kids that want to come forward, please join me up front and we can talk for a little bit. Good morning. How are you guys today? Quiet today. That's all right. That's okay. I do need you to answer one question for me, though. What is your favorite thing in the whole world? What is your favorite thing? Nobody likes anything? Everything is bad? What's your favorite, Veronica? Chocolate and caramel. Ooh, that's a good answer. What about you, Lainey? What's your favorite thing? Nothing? Do you like chicken nuggets? Is that your favorite thing? Maybe. Cade, do you have a favorite thing? No. Oh, man, you guys are quiet today. How about you, Mia? What's your favorite thing? Giggling? Is that your favorite thing? Yeah. In our Bible reading today, we get to read about how there are lots of good things, lots of things that we can really, really like. But you know what? Jesus is better than all of those things. Knowing Jesus is better than chocolate and caramel. Knowing Jesus is better than chicken nuggets. Knowing Jesus is better than having a pool to go to when it's really hot outside. Knowing Jesus is better. Oh, and a splash pad. Yeah, knowing Jesus is better than a splash pad. Knowing Jesus is even better than having a mom and dad that love you. Though that's pretty good, isn't it? Jesus is the best thing. And no matter how much we know him, we can always know him even more. And so that's why we want to come to church and we want to read our Bible, because Jesus is so great and we want to learn more about him and we want to become more like him. So we're going to talk about that with our sermon today. So thank you guys for coming forward. You can go back to your seats. So we have been working our way through the book of Philippians together. We're a little bit past halfway through, and we're going to look at the beginning of chapter 3 today. I think this is just a wonderful passage for us to hear and be reminded of. So I'm really excited for our sermon today, and I hope that you will be as excited as I am and that God will speak to us through his word. Let's join together in prayer. God our Father, you made us, you love us, and you invite us to be in community with you. Lord Jesus, you rescued us, you make us holy, and you enable us to be in community. Holy Spirit, you inspired these words of Scripture. You guide the words of the message, and you transform us. Triune God, thank you for your word to us. May it deepen our faith, comfort us, and challenge us so that we may grow in our love for you and each other. In the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. So our scripture reading this morning is Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. You can follow along up on the screen, or please feel free to pull out your own Bible and follow along there. Again, we're going to read Philippians 3, verses 1 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision. We who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. God wants his people to pursue Jesus, to follow Christ, to devote themselves to truly knowing Jesus through deep relationship with him. God inspires the early Christian missionary Paul to write to Christians living in Philippi. And through Paul's letter, God shows his people the incomparable value of knowing and pursuing Jesus. Even as Paul begins a new section of this letter in today's Bible reading, he repeats a familiar command. My brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Find your joy, your security, your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for you and the fact that you belong to him. It's no trouble for me to repeat teachings when I write to you, and in fact, I do it for your protection. So as I've said before, watch out for false teachers, those filthy dogs. Watch out for them, for they are evildoers. Watch out for those mutilators of the flesh. They may come to Philippi in the future, telling you that you must become circumcised, become distinctively Jewish in order to be part of God's people. But they're misleading you. God's purposes behind circumcision are fulfilled in us who serve God by his Spirit, who boast only in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, in ourselves and our attributes and achievements. We Christians are the circumcision. We who believe in Jesus are God's people, whether or not we've been physically circumcised. Here, God is warning his people to watch where they put their trust, what it is that they pursue with their lives. In the first century, when Paul wrote these words, there was a group in and around the church that said being part of God's people required becoming Jewish. They specifically focused on carefully following rules and practices related to things like circumcision and the Sabbath day and food restrictions. Now, behind these things, there were some good instructions that God had given his people before Jesus. But these instructions were fulfilled in Jesus. The people could easily think wrongly think that being God's people was about these boundary markers that made the Jews different. They could think that they had a relationship with God because they were Jewish or because they did certain things. The danger of all of this was that it was easy for people to start to trust themselves instead of trusting God, instead of looking to Jesus. The truth is that human beings can only become part of God's people through what God has done, through God's actions in Jesus. So if, for example, circumcision makes it difficult to understand that truth, then circumcision, as Paul says, is only a worthless cutting of the flesh. Now, maybe that seems like it's all a ways off from our lives today. But the thing is, today we too can trust who we are or what we do rather than pursuing Jesus. We can wrongly think that being an American makes us part of God's chosen people, or at least think that gives us some sort of advantage before God. We can incorrectly think that being part of God's people is all about avoiding certain sins. And so we start to believe that we are God's people because we save sex for marriage, or we don't get drunk, or we don't use filthy language. We can pursue Bible knowledge, or we can pursue correct theology, or personal virtues, instead of true relationship with Christ. When it comes down to it, we can take pride in our credentials instead of Jesus. So in our Bible reading, Paul strongly warns God's people against trusting in human credentials. He argues, trusting Jesus is so much better than trusting our credentials. Believe me, I'm not saying this because I'm envious of other people, like the false teachers and their credentials. I've got better credentials than any of them. I was circumcised as an 8-day-old because I was born Jewish. My Jewish ancestry is so certain that I know I come from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm as Hebrew as a person can get. I'm a Pharisee, a member of the strictest Jewish group when it comes to interpreting God's law. I was so zealous for purity that I used to persecute Christians because I wrongly thought they'd abandoned our Jewish faith. As far as anyone could see, I was absolutely faultless when it came to obeying God's laws. Let me tell you, I used to value these things, considering them gains and assets for me. But now, because of Christ, because of Jesus who died and lives again for me, I've come to the conclusion that all of those credentials are a loss. They're a liability. They kept me from seeing that I need Jesus. Let me tell you, compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, truly knowing him, not just knowing about him, but knowing him like a best friend or a close sibling or a spouse. Everything else, it's worthless. It's all a bunch of crap. It's worth losing in order to gain Christ, to be joined with Him. I'm pursuing Christ, a real knowledge of Jesus from the life-changing experience of being in relationship with Him. Having my own righteousness from keeping the law, that's not good enough. As hard as I try, I'm still an imperfect sinner. I can't make myself right with God. But God gives righteousness. God gives the true righteousness of Jesus, who did all things right, to everyone who trusts in Christ. Christ sacrificed His life, and He rose from the dead to make anyone who believes in Him part of God's people. It's only through Jesus that we can belong to God. So I want to know Christ more and more and more. I want to know the power of His resurrection that's making me new, giving me the courage even to suffer as I follow Him, making me like Him through putting my sins and self to death, assuring me of my undeserved but certain resurrection with Him. God wants His people to pursue Jesus because nothing compares with knowing Christ more and more. Only Jesus gives salvation, security, and satisfaction. Since we become God's people through Jesus, we don't first need to become Jewish to be part of God's people. Now, being Jewish isn't bad, don't get me wrong. But it's not some sort of advantage before God. And God's laws definitely are not bad either. In fact, as we trust in Jesus and we know Him more and more, Christ transforms us so that we obey God. We become like Christ. We do what God wants. But God's law can't save us. We can't trust who we are or what we do, no matter how good that might seem. Trying to trust Jesus plus anything else means we're no longer really trusting Jesus, and He's the only Savior. Christ is the one who offers us righteousness and hope and life. There is no better pursuit than knowing Christ. So Paul challenges God's people to pursue Christ. Paul offers himself as an example of running after Jesus. Paul says, "I still don't fully know Jesus. I haven't yet reached my goal of being completely transformed and shaped by Jesus. But Christ has taken hold of me, and I want to know Him more and more. So like a runner straining toward the finish, only looking ahead, I press on, pushing as hard as I can to reach God's purpose for me, to become like Jesus, to be with Him forever. My eyes are on the prize. I'm focused on Christ." Let's think for a minute about what this means for the Philippians and what it means for us. For a lot of Christians, Paul would come right after Jesus. Jesus and then Paul in the list of people that we admire and look up to for doing what's right. Paul spent years traveling the world as a missionary. He wrote nearly half of the books in the New Testament. God used Paul to spread the good news of Jesus across the world and to shape our understanding even today of what that good news means. But Paul writes that even he hasn't yet arrived as a Christian. He still doesn't know Jesus as much as he'd like. In fact, the more that Paul knows Jesus, the more that he wants to know Jesus. Through Paul's writing, God is teaching us that our Christian journeys are never finished in this life. We won't become perfect. We won't reach our goal until Christ returns. But pursuing Jesus is always worthwhile. God wants us to grow. He wants us to make progress. And he'll help us do just that when we pursue Christ. Paul's testimony is a great encouragement for us when we maybe feel discouraged and sense just how imperfect we still are. We don't need to give up if we're not where we'd like to be yet as Christians. We can press on, remembering that Jesus loves us, that our salvation doesn't depend on our efforts, but on Jesus' already finished work. Christ motivates us to keep pursuing him, assuring us that he wants us to deepen our relationship with him. Paul's testimony also challenges us if we begin to feel complacent as believers. It's so tempting and so wrong for us to think that we have arrived as Christians. But we do this pretty often. We might stop pursuing Christ once we finish our schooling, or we make public profession of faith, or we get elected to serve on the council. We might lose our excitement about wanting to know Jesus more and more after a couple of years of believing in him, or after passing our beliefs on to the next generation, or after we start to decline with age. But Paul tells us that there is no end to the joyful adventure of pursuing Christ. We can always know and appreciate and experience Jesus more and more. So how can we not want to read our Bibles and pray about the people around us as well as ourselves and sing God's praises? How can we not want to dive into nurturing and challenging relationships with our fellow Christians? How can we not want to love the world and the people that Jesus loves, or make him our first priority, or seek to honor him in everything that we do? Nothing in the world can compare with knowing Jesus. Pursuing and knowing Jesus is worthwhile because of who Jesus is for us. Jesus is God the Son, who from eternity is in perfect unity with God the Father and God the Spirit. That means Jesus is our Creator. He made us to be in close relationship with him. During Jesus' life on earth, he even showed us how he's designed and wants us to live. But we all fail to live up to God's will for us fully. We sin, we do wrong, we turn away from God, setting ourselves on the path of death and destruction. Our sins have to be dealt with for us to live in true relationship with God. But we can't remove those sins on our own. However, Jesus loves us so much that he became our Savior. Christ pursued us sinners to turn us back to him. Jesus died and rose again to take away his people's sins, to secure complete forgiveness for everyone he leads to believe in him. So Jesus is our Lord, who watches over us, who sends us the Holy Spirit so that we're never separated from him. Christ is our King, who chooses us for the mission of living for him as his representatives. Jesus is our bridegroom, and we, his people, are his bride, whom he promises to take to be with him forever in perfect blessedness. Pursuing Christ is worthwhile. It's going to take effort. There's always more growing to be done. At times, there may even be suffering as we follow Christ. But Jesus loves us. He's working in us to make us like him. His power is more than enough to help us through whatever may come. And as we pursue Christ in response to his call, he promises that ultimately he will give us a fuller experience of his love, a deeper understanding of just how much he values us, a stronger sense of connection with him, and greater love for him. Jesus wants us to pursue him and trust him because he gives us greater security and joy than we could ever have through trusting ourselves or our credentials. Kim Connor always thought that she was a Christian because of what she did. She went to church services. She volunteered to serve others. She tried to teach her kids about Jesus. And Kim had some wonderful credentials. A great job, a great family, faithful church involvement. Kim also felt a ton of pressure and responsibility to always seem in control of it all. She would obsess over troubles in her life, like rising insurance costs, until eventually she'd just explode with tears. So Kim was excited when she was invited to attend a seminar on work-life balance. And through that event, God introduced her to a woman named Kay. The two women agreed that they'd start to meet and journey together. Over coffee, Kay talked with Kim about how Jesus had died for her, for all of God's people. And Christ showed Kim that she'd been thinking she was a Christian because of her efforts, not because of Jesus. Kim wanted a true relationship with God. So she decided to trust fully in Jesus. Let him take control of her life. And Christ brought Kim rest. He gave her security. He convinced her that their relationship didn't depend on her efforts, but on his love. Kim began to pursue Christ through regular meetings with Kay. Eventually, she got to a point where she was leading Bible study and talking with others, too. And as Kim did these things, Christ filled her with peace, the peace that comes from knowing that he was taking care of her, that she didn't have to have it all together. Kim says that trusting Jesus, pursuing him, has been so much better for her than relying on herself. Sisters and brothers, Jesus makes us God's people. There's nothing that's greater than knowing him. Christ calls us to pursue him because he wants to give us security and joy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's join together in prayer. Christ Jesus, our Lord, we want to know you, to hear your voice, to see your face. We want to know you more. So keep us from trusting our credentials, from foolishly thinking that it's who we are or what we do that makes us your people. Instead, help us to trust you. Fill us with a longing for you. Inspire us to pursue you, to experience your love as you make us like yourself. Shape our lives through the joy and security only you can give. Through your Spirit we pray. Amen. In response to God's word, let's proclaim together what we believe. Today we're going to use part of the Canons of Dort, first main point of doctrine, Article 13. So those words are printed in the bulletin, or you can find them up on the screen. Let's join together in this reading. In their awareness and assurance of this election, God's children daily find greater cause to humble themselves before God, to adore the fathomless depth of God's mercies, to cleanse themselves, and to give fervent love to the one who first so greatly loved them. Amen. Let's join together in singing, Knowing You. Let's rise in body or in spirit as we sing. Brothers and sisters, Jesus sends us forth to live for him. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Know that as we go with God's blessing. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guards your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you always. Amen.